And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Hot, fresh idea here. A new wave of chiropractors in which, when you go to get your neck adjusted, every so often they just snap it completely. Every couple of patients dies. A Russian roulette of chiropractors, if you will.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, February 18th. I'm J.E. Skeets rolling this morning with my Top Shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Hey, yo! We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Last but not least, making the magic happen is J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team. Joining us live right now on YouTube. Sorry we started a little late here this morning. Lots going on at the No Dunks Classic Factory. But please like, comment, subscribe, and share the No Dunks YouTube channel with your friends. Tonight, February 18th, join us for another very cash edition of NBA Happy Hour. It's our watch party slash hang party. We're going to fire up the live stream around halftime of the Raptors-Bucks game on TNT. That's the first game on TNT. So around halftime of that, we'll go live on YouTube to, you know, talk about the game, sort of. Talk about maybe the All-Star selections, the starters, probably. And whatever else we want to get into. We've been told that Lee's going to take down a couple glasses of red wine.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
Take the edge off a little bit. You were high-strung here this morning, man.
It's been, you know. Yeah, homeschooling, everyone's at home, it's raining, it's cold, I don't know. A million games on last night.
Oh, tough luck. Yeah. Hey, we'll just keep it cash tonight, okay? Don't you worry. You want to bring the boys into the NBA happy hour. Pop an OJ.
Maybe they can just sub in for me. You can just talk to them tonight. I'll just cruise.
All right. I mean, sure. We'll talk about what's that book series that Sebastian likes? Mr. Poopy Pants.
Captain Underpants.
Captain Underpants. Yeah, that's it. Mr. Poopy Pants. Same thing. Okay. That's tonight. So NBA Happy Hour. Hope to see you there. Also coming later today. I mean, JD, Thursdays, man. You got NBA bloopers dropping. New edition of that. That's coming up later this afternoon. And Lee, popping packs. Back in the mix. You've got a special guest lined up. You're going to pop a pack of 1990-91 Skybox. Can we confirm that, Lee? There it is.
These are the cards that I will be opening. Yeah, I don't know if I'm popping or ripping packs, but it'll be with Amir Blumenfeld, a fan of the show. And he was, I think he was popping packs on his Instagram a couple of weeks ago.
So, yes, he does.
So these are the ones. This pack is going to be open today.
You can't keep track of who's popping packs nowadays. Everybody's doing it. Lee, Amir, Grant Hill, everybody's popping and ripping and clicking. And then you got Top Shot boys. Jeez, we're in.
I know. I saw Lee pull out that analog pack of cards. That was like seeing a fax machine again. Yeah. I haven't thought about a piece of cardboard like that in ages, but that's not true because I actually had to put on my down coat the other day for the first time since All-Star in February of last year in Chicago. Very cold. I reached in. I was like, wait, man, what is on my chest? Something is sticking out here. I reached in. It was that exact same pack of cards that Lee had. I was like, what's going on here? Did you pull some kind of David Blaine magic trick? You learned that from a master class, how to slip a deck of cards into somebody's chest pocket? I don't know. Hey. I'm excited to pop it, though.
Hey, Trey, check under your hat.
Oh my God! Do it. Oh, it's like a Larry Bird rookie card. Speaking of just cards here too, let's stick with it. I sold a Fartin' Will Barton this morning on Top Shot, Trey.
Hey, baby.
All right, cool. We're in the money, guys. Email us your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in nodunks@theathletic.com. Yesterday we hit the beach. We had a second podcast. Well, really third if you count What You Need to Know. Tass doing a great job with those mini recap podcasts. We hit the beach yesterday. Some fun questions. Some actually, like, legit good NBA questions, too. We debated whether you'd rather start a franchise with Ben Simmons or Donovan Mitchell. Got into that. We talked about whether Jaylen Brown's rise, does that help or hurt Jason Tatum's chances of ever winning MVP? And then Lee had a great story near the end of it. One that I don't think I'd ever heard, but Lee telling the story about Roxy turning into Steve Jobs and creating an app back in Toronto. And she was on the front page of the newspaper and all this. So, yeah, go check that out. That's Beach Steppin' yesterday. A lot of fun. And finally here, immaculate items. Always available for sale over at nodunks.com. Go check it out. Lots of gear there. Got the hoodies, some crew necks, t-shirts. Got the Good Morning Sweet World coffee mug, their shorts I always forget about. Wow. Great stuff. Yeah, go check that out. Nodunks.com. Okay. Yeah, Lee, you're not wrong. There's so many games on last night. Some close ones, some great storylines. It's can be difficult. You know, don't play the violin for us by any means, but it can be difficult to sort of keep track of everything. So I thought today, with all those games on, we'd play a little What You Got.
What you got?
What you got?
What you got?
You know, the beauty of What You Got, you can sort of jam a little bit more in to the show without going maybe deep or long on every single game, because sometimes we do the big takeaways. But again, great games on last night. I picked three guys that I'm going to throw at you to ultimately ask you a question. The Bulls, Trey Kirby, they rallied from a 25-point second quarter deficit. It was not looking good for a while, but they came back. Biggest one of the season now to beat the Pistons 105-102. That's game one. The other game I'm going to throw at you, Damian Lillard, scoring 43 points, including the go-ahead three-point play. Not three-pointer, three-point play with 16 seconds left to lift the Blazers over the Pelicans, 126-124. I watched a lot of that one. That was fun back and forth. And then I'll give you this one. Sabonis, big monster game. 36 points, 17 boards, 10 assists as the Pacers beat the Wolves 134-128 in overtime. Indy erased a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter. More entertaining win from last night. Da Bulls, Da Blazers, or Da Pacers? What you got, Trey?
Come on, Skeetsy, you see the hat.
Yep.
The Bulls are back. Incredible comeback. You know what I say. First half leads, they don't actually matter. What a duel, though, between all-stars Zach LaVine and Jeremy Grant. But guys, I'm a homer for the Bulls. But an unbiased analyst of the other 29 teams, so even I got to pay some respect to Damian Lillard doing it once again. Are you kidding me with this guy?
Yeah.
A night after viscerating the Thunder, scoring or assisting on the last 18 points in a win, he hit a dagger three with 51 seconds, looked bored doing it. He was just like, okay, whatever. I guess I just got to carry this team to a win again. Then last night, follows it up with 43 points, 16 assists in the fourth quarter, 11 points, 4 assists. He has scored or assisted on the last 15 points. Last night, he had the game-winning and one, as you mentioned, with about 15 seconds left. This was an MVP performance again from Lillard, back-to-back nights. After the game, it looked like he had just played the first quarter. Just like, all right, got to go back to my guys, see him in the locker room. It's crazy, man. The ability for Damian Lillard to just turn it on in the fourth quarter feels like he's never going to miss, feels like he's never going to make the wrong decision. It's only a matter of time to me before he has one of those so many points in so many seconds games. You know, Reggie Miller, 8 points, 9 seconds.
Yeah.
T-Mac, 13 points, 33 seconds. He had 6 points and 8 seconds to beat the Bulls a while back. So, I mean, that could be it. I guess maybe it's just the fact that it's happening every single night with Lillard that we're not labeling these, but it's crazy stuff. He feels, I don't know, he's making his MVP case right now. People were saying, at worst, he's second in MVP on the MVP list right now because the way that he has carried the Blazers since Nurkic and McCollum went out, incredible stuff. That's what, 6 straight wins now for the Blazers? Yep. They're looking good. They're still near the top of the Western Conference after losing their second and third best players, bringing in a whole bunch of new guys over the offseason. Lillard, man, like, is there anybody you would rather have the ball in the fourth quarter right now? I mean, I know we talk about LeBron as always money in the fourth quarter, and there's no doubt about that. Kevin Durant can get a shot anytime, but Lillard right now, it's insane.
Yeah, it's pretty special. Do you agree with Trey's pick there? What a professional this guy. Rocking a Bulls hat and a Bulls sweater.
That's right.
And who knows, probably a Pippen rookie card in his back pocket that Lee somehow magically made appear. Check your back pocket. Yeah, check your shoe. Oh, and Bulls socks.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Still shows the respect for Damian Lillard and the Blazers. And again, the question was more entertaining victory, the most entertaining victory, I should say, with three options there. Where are you going?
It is so hard to sort of look at any other game and think that a performance is better than a Damian Lillard fourth quarter, because we've seen it so many times. I've seen it so many times recently, but I will never, ever get sick of it, because he is just that cold, calculating killer out there on the floor. You know, he knows that when he gets the ball, he's got that range from wherever. He can go inside if he wants, but he doesn't really care about who's defending him, how they're playing him. It's like, if he's got the ball in his hands, he backs himself every single time, and he pretty much delivers. I mean, I don't know what his clutch stats are. I mean, maybe if Schumann's in the stream team today, he can tell us, but it feels like...
They're good.
It feels like, good. Honestly, like, do you remember him missing more than, you know, one shot in a row sort of late in that sort of clutch time, which is 5-point game with, I don't know, 3 minutes to go, I think. It just feels like Trey said that he always makes the right decision, whether he's going inside and kicking it out to a guy, but he comes back and knocks it in. And, I mean, those other two games, again, especially the Bulls and the Pistons there, the Bulls came back from a big deficit. Zach LaVine was, again, instrumental for Chicago.
Yep.
But it's just, I don't know, it's Lillard. It's he's just incredibly fun to watch. And also that other game, actually, the Pacers and the Timberwolves. I watched that one this morning, and I was like, I probably won't be talking about this one. That was actually fun game. Anthony Edwards was so close to his first game winner, the three that rattled out right at the end there. And I really actually felt bad for the Wolves this morning. They you know, they deserve to win if there's such a thing like that. And it would have been so good for the rookie to hit that big shot, but unfortunately they didn't, and the Pacers came back. Sabonis was great. Malcolm Brogdon had a dunk, which shouldn't sound surprising, but funny to see him go up and throw down a two-hander. I haven't seen that before too many times in his career. So a lot of fun games, a lot of huge comebacks last night. But if you give me one player to watch, one guy to watch right now, I'm going with Lillard every time.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's why this was a tough one. The Bulls' comeback was pretty special. Stacey King was on fire, Trey. I watched a good chunk of this comeback. Incredibly. I was watching, you know, the first game on last night was the Magic Knicks, so I was sort of focused on that. And then the Knicks just went ice cold, and it turned into a bit of a stinker. So I'm like, where to go next? I asked it on Twitter. And King of the fourth quarter, Kenny Beecham, he was like a Bulls fan, obviously, with you, Trey, was like, maybe avoid the Bulls game, because at that time they were down like...
Come on, Kenny.
Yeah, Kenny, I hope you kept watching. Yeah.
You think the Bulls are going to lose to the Pistons on Michael Jordan's birthday?
Oh, wow. That's a good point.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, what a comeback. And Zach LaVine. Yeah, you're right. Kobe White hit big shots. What's Stacey King calling Patrick Williams? Paw?
The paw. Forget the claw. He's the paw. Incredible stuff. Great. You know, they compare him to Kawhi Leonard a lot, which, you know, that's a little bit to put on Patrick Williams' back, but... LeBron said it too. LeBron said he's got Kawhi-type hands, and when you saw him in the fourth quarter last night, he was ripping the ball out of the opponent's hands, looking like a man amongst boys, despite the fact that he is the youngest player in the league right now. Wow. I'm hyped for this guy, no doubt about it. He had 12 in the fourth quarter. Zach LaVine had 15 in the third quarter, outscored the Pistons all by himself. Clutch coaching from Billy Donovan? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He sent all the young guys to the bench, basically. To start the second half, Wendell Carter Jr., Kobe White, and who's their other guy? Patrick Williams, actually, all went to the bench. He brought in Satoransky, Garrett Temple, and Thaddeus Young, the veteran bench mob, and they just started playing defense.
Shipping
and that's
away.
Exactly what it was. Zach LaVine really dug in, I thought. He ripped Josh Jackson at the top of the key and then started talking shit to him. Are you kidding me? Zach LaVine is talking trash about defense now? The game has changed. After the game, apparently in the press conference, he said, "The only men I'm afraid of are God and my dad."
That's such a good line.
Bars! Are you kidding me? That's the only men I'm afraid of.
I'm only afraid of God and Dickie Ellis.
I am a little bit now after hearing the way he's a bit of a temper boy, but I love to see him on the court. Anyways, the move, it really woke up the young guys. Once the Bulls got the lead in the fourth quarter, they never gave it up. Kobe White, like you're saying, Skeets, brutal game, but he hit a huge three with a minute left. He hooked up Pat Williams in the corner for a three on the next possession. I'm throwing bows all over the place. I'm interrupting Laura in the middle of her episode of Imposters. Laura, 3-point game. Laura, the Bulls are back. She's like, I know, man. I know the Bulls are back.
Can you shut up already? You keep saying the Bulls are back and big beef. That's all you say now.
That's all I say now. That's 100% right, but it was a good one last night. Hard work pays off. 2-0 since the Carhartt hat came in the mail.
Wow, wow. What a comment. And look, Jeremy Grant for the Pistons was putting on a show, too. I mean, that guy was looking like Lillard. He was unstoppable. And, you know, like, unfortunate for him going for a career high. What did he end up with in the end?
43.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe, too, that Harvey Grant once scored 41 points in a game. I know he was a bit better at scoring the ball than Horace, but 41 for Harvey back then, that was, you know, 40 back then was like 60 in that game. So I couldn't believe that. So he beat Pops there with the 43. That was a great game. Great comeback. And just to touch on Sabonis here a little bit, because you're right, Lee, Edwards had a chance, but the Pacers pulled it out. We got a great Instagram comment. You know, we do look at these every once in a while. It was from Grant Jordan. And I want to bring this up because we had just been talking about, you know, Julius Randle had just gone off for the 44. And like, ooh, is he taking like a Sabonis spot in the All-Star game? Or, you know, a Vooch? Or, you know, I threw Gordon Hayward in the mix too. Maybe that's unlikely. But Grant Jordan wanted to know, basically, I'm just going to paraphrase here, why is there so much love for Bam Adebayo, but less so for Sabonis with what he's doing here? And, you know, he's pointing out that the Pacers, hey, they're not, you know, no Warren. You know, of course, Oladipo gone, so they have no LeVert, who they get traded back in that deal. And he's just balling out, and he just can't figure it out, you know, why Sabonis isn't a lock. And that there does. And anyway, I liked it because it made me start thinking about Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, and with the Heat crappy record, and they pick up another loss last night. I'm like, are these guys going to be All-Stars? Like one of them?
Oh, Butler, both of them? Definitely not. No way, no. Butler's in, no.
Yeah, but is Bam? Like, I was like, I'm not, I don't know. It made me start thinking. I'm like, yeah. A great point from Grant Jordan. So, Sabonis, well-timed, you know, whatever, 36, 17, and 10. I mean, yeah. Great timing with the coaches' picks coming up here. What do you think, Lee?
Well, I think coming into the season, given that the Heat made the finals last year, Bam was an All-Star, he took that big leap, they gave him the big contract, I think we just expected a natural sort of progression to standing up to becoming even better. But he's been out, you know, the Heat's record is pretty bad. I think they're 11-17 right now. They've dropped a couple here. So I think he sort of just came in with that, like, you know, yeah, this guy is an All-Star now. He's proved it, and we expect him to perform. And he's been fine when he's been playing.
Oh, yeah.
But
are they going to get a? Are they going to have an All-Star representative?
I don't think so.
sort of,
I mean,
crazy to think.
It's only him. It's only him, if anyone, because Jimmy just hasn't played enough.
Yeah,
Jimmy had another. I think he had a triple double. You know, we know Jimmy Butler is a quality player, but he's missed so much time. So, but I think as well with Sabonis, the Pacers started off so well, and then they had a patch as well. And I mean, things move so quickly in this game. You know, you're an All-Star one day, and then you're like that. You're not even going to make the playoffs the next. So, but also Sabonis's game, you know, you have to watch him to appreciate him. You're never seeing House of Highlights with a 10-pack of Domantas Sabonis highlights, because he's just not that guy. He's all dinkers and dumpers. You know, very smart passer. You know, very good like rebounder. But it's just not the sort of stuff that catches on. And again, it's also for the Indiana Pacers, so that's what he's battling against. Whereas the Heat generally are a sexy team. Their colors did not look sexy.
Was the worst looking game I think I've ever seen. The Oakland jerseys with those stupid vice jerseys. They looked horrible.
Yeah, it was disgusting. But you know, I think again that the Heat and Bam. I mean, Bam was brilliant in the playoffs last year in the finals. Yeah. You know, so he has that sort of.
Yeah, no, it has nothing to do with your All-Star selection.
No, it doesn't. But it just you're in the conversation a little bit more than you are with someone like Sabonis, who, if I remember, he didn't even play in the bubble, did he? I believe he was out. So, you know, we didn't really see him. You know, he made the All-Star team last year, and even then, a lot of people who were casuals were like Sabonis. You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think it was an interesting point there from Grant. And, well, again, great timing here from Sabonis to have this monster game. And we're going to make our All-Star picks on tomorrow's Drop podcast. We find out the starters tonight on TNT. They usually do that pregame, so that should happen before the Raptors-Bucks game. So we'll know the 10 starters. And then, on tomorrow's Drop podcast, we'll actually make our selections. But I've sort of had just totally, I guess, forgotten about Bam and, like, maybe in my head had him already penciled in. I don't know. I haven't actually sat down and made my team yet, but I'm like, yeah, I mean, he's not really more deserving than a lot of these guys this year. Right, Trey?
Yeah, I'm with you. He's penciled in right now, I think, a lot, like Leah's saying, because of the bubble performance and the fact that Bam has improved this year. He's better than he was last season. He's still an elite defensive player. The Heat just are really struggling as a team for the entirety of this season. A lot of that is because they haven't had their full squad together, but it's not looking great, but I don't know. I think that I think Zach LaVine has jumped both of these guys in the conversation. Oh, he seems to be past the debate stage. So it's going to be like maybe somebody between Jeremy Grant, Bam, Sabonis, Gordon Hayward is probably in the mix. And maybe it honestly just comes down to who's playing the best as we get closer, right? Like, we're talking about the timing of everything here with Julius Randle playing incredibly well this week and Domantas Sabonis having a great game last night compared to Bam. So maybe it is just a factor of who has the greatest game on the night that coach happens to be voting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's honestly possible with some of these guys. And they must have to make their picks really soon, I think, the coaches, like soon after the starters, because I'm pretty sure the reserves are announced early next week.
I think it's next Thursday. I don't think
it's even next Thursday, no? Lee.
I thought usually it was like, you know.
It usually is, but I remember reading the first press release, and I think I was taken aback by like, oh, that's like maybe Tuesday on TNT. You know how they're doing those games? You can fact check that, Lee. Maybe look that up if you want. But yeah. Anyway, it's a quick turnaround for sure in terms of picking the reserves. Anyway, great games. I'm ultimately going with the Blazers game as well. That was a back and forth affair. And only thing to add to that, like Zion Williamson not touching the ball on the final couple of possessions there. Ugh, come on. Yeah, like this guy was rolling again. It's got to at least be in his hands to make the decision. I didn't love that from Stan, and a little bit was the Blazers' D and how they were playing them, but not great. Okay, wow, let's keep it going. Next one, couple wild card performances on Wednesday night. Two in particular stood out. The Wizards' Davis Bertans set career highs with 9 three-pointers made and 35 points as Washington won their third straight game with the victory over Denver. And then the Warriors game, that ugly-looking game, aesthetically, Curry hit the go-ahead three in overtime. You know, he's the headline. But it was teammate Kent Bazemore who tipped in a key miss with like 1:40 left in the extra frame to help the Dubs to the overtime victory over the Heat. Baze finished with a season-high 26 points, and he had not just that tip-in. He had timely buckets down the stretch in the fourth quarter and a couple more in overtime. So the question is here with the what you got. Who deserves the holy crap, I forgot about that guy, performance of the night award more? Bertans or Bazemore? Lee, what you got?
I'm just wondering if the starters bump, how long that can potentially carry on. with Kent Bazemore there. But no, I have to go with Davis Bertans for this one because I watch a lot of this one as well. I'm waiting for the Nuggets to have a really impressive win. And the first quarter, they were up 20 with like 2 seconds to go. And then it was 17, I think, officially at the end of the first quarter. And I thought, okay, the Nuggets are back here. You know, this is the win they need against a team that's got a terrible defense. And then they were down by 6 at halftime. It was just incredible. But Davis Bertans, I've got his shot chart here.
Yep.
He hit the 9 of 11 threes last night. Those were the only field goals he attempted.
Yep.
And some of them were just so deep. I remember when he was with the San Antonio Spurs, and Greg Popovich said, you know, Bertans has never, ever turned down a shot from three-point range. And it was kind of funny coming from Popovich because it's like, you know, when you're in the Spurs system, you just sort of learn to play it the Spurs way. But he never really did. And I wonder if that's why he isn't on the Spurs roster anymore. But those ones last night, and I was watching again this morning, a lot of them with like 16 seconds on the shot clock, seven. You know, if he gets the ball, he's just like, there you go, I'm firing away. And I've been critical of him this season because they signed him to the big contract. And I was like, he doesn't do anything else. But when he does what he did last night, 35 points off the bench, I mean, it's incredible because it's like there's no real defense for it. He's just out there shooting, and the Wizards really needed all of those points in the end. Yeah. I mean, this was a good game, but the fact that the Wizards got the victory, I think largely was to do with the fact that Bertans, I think he went 8 for 8 from the free throw line. They fouled him on a 3-2 right at the end of the game. And then it was Bradley Beal who knocked in the 2 free throws on the last possession. So I don't know if you guys saw it or not. It was Jermichael Green.
Mm-hmm.
The verticality was like on the first look, I was like, oh, he's fouled him. He's hit him for sure.
Yeah.
The second look, I mean, he sort of drifts into him.
Beal created that.
That's
for sure.
That's right.
Like,
yeah,
wisely. Beal, yeah. You know what I think happened? I think because there was so little time left, I think Green was thinking Beal's going floater here, like one step out, one dribble more. And he's like, well, I'll challenge this because Beal's got to go up. He's got to try and beat the buzzer. And Beal, like, wisely instead, like, went one more drive, like a little bit closer to the rim, and then like had Michael sort of up in the air, and then he was like, well, now I can create the contact, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I actually had no problem with the call.
Yeah, and he crashed to the ground as well. Like it was that was it as well. But it was closer than it looked at first for me anyway. But yeah, Bertans, just incredible stuff last night. And I mean, it was a wild game, that one, because the Nuggets are desperate for a victory, and it looked like they were going to pull it off there. Jamal Murray hit a big 3 too, but man, the Wizards are just flying right now. Maybe they'll have a couple of All-Stars.
Wow, jeez, back in the mix. The Wizards are like in the playoff race though, so I guess don't count down. Trey, is it Bertans or Bazemore for you for the holy crap, I forgot about that guy performance of the night?
KYP, Skeets, know your personnel. Lee's a shooter. I know he was going with the shooter. I was more impressed with Kent Bazemore looking like little Draymond out there last night. Steph Curry, obviously, he didn't have a great shooting night on the night, but he's still Steph Curry. What did Curry finish last night? 5-for-20 from three. He was even laughing that he took 23-point attempts. Nonetheless, the Heat were still trapping him like crazy, but with no Draymond out there, it was kind of left to Kent Bazemore to be the playmaker. He had back-to-back finishes at the rim to tie the game underneath a minute. He had another nice pass that led to a missed three from, I think it was Kelly Oubre, right near the end of regulation. Mm-hmm. Had that put back in overtime, like you're saying. He was even flexing like Draymond Green after that. Great to see. I don't think that Kent could have bazed any more than he did last night. Crazy to see him on the Warriors again after, you know, he started his career there. And the first thing we ever learned about Kent Bazemore was he's got so many moves with the towel. He contributed big time last night. And that's a huge part of the reason that the Warriors were able to pull off that win.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun to see the Bazemore have a great game. He is a fan of ours. You know, we had him on the show a couple times as the starters. We liked him. I guess I got one more little mini follow-up, what you got here. Who needs more of a haircut or a makeover, Bertans or Sabonis? What you got? I think they both could use one.
Yeah, I think Bertans needs to ditch the side part here.
Oh, my God.
I know we just learned from RuPaul that your good side is the side you part your hair on, but that's not my favorite look.
Yeah, he's got a fascinating look. I mean, Sabonis is just looking like a wild... He's looking a little Lee Ellis-like wild.
Somebody said that Sabonis has Lee's hair in my game. I was like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's an all-star in my books, that's then, right, for sure. I'm putting him in our my team tomorrow. All right, next one here. Trae Young had 40 points, 8 assists. Atlanta snapped a four-game losing streak with the 122-114 victory over the Celtics. And then Joel Embiid had 31-11-9 to help Philly beat the Rockets, 118-113. Seth Curry helping out, Tobias Harris. For the Eastern Conference leading 76ers, who snapped a three-game losing streak. So both those teams, the Hawks, the Sixers, they snapped, you know, some, you know, some losing streaks. So who needed that win more last night? Who feels better? A little sigh of relief, I guess, more. The Hawks or the Sixers? Trey, what you got?
Well, Philly definitely has hit a rough patch, having lost three straight. But they also never left first place. You know, they're still 19-10. They beat the Rockets, who are in super struggle mode right now. They've lost seven straight. So for me, that's got to be the Hawks. They had lost 7 of 8. They were on the verge of falling out of the play-in tournament. They've really been struggling since DeAndre Hunter went down, but they got a real nice win against a legitimate playoff team last night, and that's huge. The Hawks controlled the game for the entire night. So they were a step ahead. I thought the Celtics looked really scattershot on defense, and Trae Young was just magnificent again. 40 points, 16 in the fourth. He scored 11 straight at one point. Hawks needed a win, and it's nice to get one against the team that you're chasing in the standings. I mean, I don't think they're really going to be catching the Boston Celtics, but the Celtics are now just 14-14. The Hawks are only four games behind that. There's still a lot to be decided in the Eastern Conference. So picking up a W against a team like the Beantown Boys, good stuff for Atlanta.
Yeah, I miss Tommy Heinsohn, no doubt. Rest in peace. But Scalabrine is pretty fun on the Celtics call, specifically last night where Trae Young was just carving their asses up, Lee. And even Scalabrine's like, this guy's just completely dominating us. Like, there's no answer for him. He's just making the right play after right play, either scoring or setting up guys. And I think he's pretty good on the call, Scalabrine. But what do you think? Who needed that one more? The Sixers? I mean, they keep doing this thing where it's like, well, Embiid's not there and Simmons goes off, or Simmons wasn't there last night and Embiid goes off. Like, which one, Hawks or Sixers for you?
Yeah, I'm also going with the Atlanta Hawks because they need a win. They've got to get back to where they were early on to this season, where they looked like they were a playoff lock team. And so a big win against the Celtics, who just came off a big win. They were on the second night of a back-to-back, but you sort of think just the Celtics at home are going to be tough. But Trae Young, again, causing a little bit of controversy with some of his how he gets those foul calls. You know, that's going to become a topic, and it seems to be whenever the Hawks are playing well and Trae Young's playing well, that's something that people point to. But listen, he got there and he knows how to get those fouls and he gets the free throw line and he knocks them in. But in that fourth quarter, it was, you know, like Damian Lillard, where he was like, I want the ball, I want to go and make these shots. And he stepped into them. He, you know, he did what didn't back away from any of them. And that's what you want to see from your franchise player, the guy who just is not afraid to step up into the moment and knock it down. So this one, you know, was one of those games as well that sort of just it dragged on and on and on because the Celtics kept it just close enough that the Hawks couldn't put them away. Eventually they did. But yeah, I definitely think the Hawks, I think the Sixers, they had a big lead over the Rockets. They seemed to take their foot off the gas a little bit. John Wall and Boogie were pretty good for the Rockets getting them back into it. But I think the Sixers, that was more a, they just built that big lead and they were like, we can cruise from here.
Yeah.
Nearly blew it, but it didn't really feel like the Rockets were ever going to sort of steal that one.
Well, you had to watch the end of the Hawks-Celtics game because Atlanta keeps blowing games this year. There's so many bad fourth quarters that I was like, this is far from over. When they had played really well, like Trey said, they sort of had dominated the whole game through three quarters. They were a step ahead of the Celtics. Trey was looking great. And I'm like, they better win this game. They can't have another one where like you've outplayed them for like 36 minutes and you just give it away in the fourth. So I agree with you guys. I think it is the Hawks coming through there. That was special. And Nate McMillan coaching them actually right now because Lloyd Pierce flew back to Atlanta here for I believe the birth of his second child. I think it's his second kid. So sending our best to the Pierce family. I think he's going to miss a couple games. So Nate McMillan, he's obviously coached how many games has he probably coached in the NBA? A ton. He coached for a long time, right?
1,000 for sure.
Yeah, I would think so. So obviously not new to the job, and he got the victory there last night. Final one here. We would not be doing our job if we didn't let you know that we celebrated some No Dunks moments during a very busy night in the association. First up, the Blazers and Pelicans combined to give us wedgie number 23 on the season in New Orleans. Here's our boy, Blazers play-by-play, excuse me, color commentator Lamar Hurd on the call.
And this early going, Cantor going to work once more down in the block. Jones Jr. and...
We got a wedgie! This no dunks, we got another wedgie.
Wedgies and jump balls this year. It's got to be a record.
We're approaching record territory. You know, they said that they were, I think, ahead of schedule. I think the pace of wedgies this season is above anything that they have experienced so far.
That's right. Lamar knows.
The knowledge.
Okay, hold on. He's all over it. But also last night, Trey, I get to bring this beef to the table. You usually do this honor, but the league served up some tasty beef. Rudy Gobert, he was hungry versus the Clippers in the late game. So let's roll that beautiful beef footage, JD.
Rudy Gobert had 20 rebounds. That's a lot of roast beef. Wee wee, Trey, stylish beef. No dunks. We love roast beef, which is rebounds.
Okay, that's my favorite big beef edition yet. Those clips, Rudy Gobert. Man, there was a lot of variety in there. But I'm giving away my answer, I guess. But the question is, in what you got here, what was the better no dunks moment? Was it wedgie number 23 with Lamar Hurd on the call, or Rudy Gobert big beef volume 10? Trey, you go first.
I love that big beef as well, Skeet. Some very funny rebounds. The ball spinning on the rim and he's just waiting there is great. I had to put in the longest rebound clip that we've used in any of this where the ball just flies in the air. They tip it again. It rolls underneath the hoop. I don't know exactly how many rebounds Rudy Gobert got for that one, but a hilarious clip. I was worried it was going to run too long. Wouldn't be able to switch it in there with all of the beats, but... just like I picked the Blazers as the most entertaining game, I gotta say the biggest no dunks moment was that wedgie. Ooh. An all-time great wedgie shout out from our guy Lamar Hurd. He did everything except for give the wedgietracker.com URL address. This is incredible. We're up to what now? 64 is our pace?
Yeah.
On pace for 64 wedgies. Like he said, an unheard of pace, unprecedented in league history. 51 is the record. We're talking about smashing that. We might have 25 by the All-Star break. I think it's very likely we have 25 by the All-Star break. So, great beef, but I got to give some props to the OG. The wedgie. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Lee, what you got? You know, what was better no-dunks moment, that wedgie or the big beef?
I mean, Lamar Hurd and the Blazers must be up to five wedgies themselves.
I think it's six.
Six?
I think so. Goodness. Yeah, you have to go check the wedgietracker.com right. for sure. But it's definitely five. It might be six, yeah.
And Lamar Hurd has given us a shout-out, I would guess, on all of those as well. So, I mean, Lamar's into it, and he knows his stuff. That's what I like about it. You know, the beef still is kind of a new thing. Like, how many beefs are we going for? We don't have a beef tracker out there. It's like we're still learning about the beef. And the other
we're still
day,
dissecting and cutting the beef. We're tasting the beef.
Well, you were talking
about
Enes Kanter the other day with flat-footed rebounds. Well, Rudy on that one that did spin around on the free throw, he actually jumped for that one when there was nobody around. We couldn't have gone to anybody else, but he still jumped. So Rudy's aware. He's like, I don't want any cheap rebounds. I'm going to jump. I'm going to get every single one of these ones. So, it's incredible how many beefs we're getting as well this season. I mean, it's great.
Wow. Look, you bring up a good point. Who's going to be the first either play-by-play guy or color commentator to drop the big beef, note on the broadcast when somebody goes for 20 rebounds? Or like a big beef watch when somebody's at like 15, 16 rebounds? Like, who will it be? I can't wait to find out.
It could be Lamar Hurd. Enes Kanter, two beefs already. You think he'll be in the mix at least? Probably have a 15-rebound game going into the fourth quarter at some point. Let's see it.
I would love for it to be Stacey King talking big beef too. Right?
Hot sauce on that big beef.
Yeah.
Kevin Harlan would be great if he was aware of it. He would make a real good call.
Well, you want the national broadcast?
Oh yeah, man. I want the big beef.
Okay, we'll give you the big beef, big guy. I'm also going with the wedgie though. I tweeted this wedgie number 23 on the season on Michael Jordan's birthday.
Crazy.
Come on, and then, you know, it started making me think: did Michael Jordan ever have a wedgie?
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Now, I saw one of our fans, they searched, because I tweeted that, they searched back, they wrote back to me and said, first thing I searched was Michael Jordan wedgie, and this is what came back up first, and it was Shaq giving me an actual wedgie. So I'm going to say no that MJ didn't, or at least there's no footage on YouTube of it happening, but hey, if you were there in 88, 89, and a young Michael Jordan stuck a wedgie, send in the story, email us in, nodunks@theathletic.com.
That'd be awesome.
Be amazing. Yeah, oh god, I love that footage. Do you think that footage exists somewhere in Dickie Ellis's basement, Lee?
Wow. it's possible. That's the only thing, actually. When I was back in Australia, like, nearly 2 years ago now, I couldn't find all my old recorded games videotapes, which is funny. I wonder if... I'm surprised. I don't think Dickie would have thrown those out. But I suspect... He may have taped over some of those games when I left the house, I suspect. Even that, I sort of think, he probably wouldn't have done that. But that's probably there somewhere. I'll find it one day.
Okay.
I can't wait to rewatch those games.
Keep us posted.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. You know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Okay, guys. The NBA All-Star Game. As I said, starters revealed tonight on TNT. The reserves selected by the coaches announced next Tuesday, Lee. I think it is next Tuesday.
It is. You're right. Yeah. I found that. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to make and debate our official picks on tomorrow's Draw podcast. I already said that. But to get us in the mood, a few questions, guys. And the first one, I'll ask it and answer it first, is what will you be watching most closely with tonight's All-Star starters selections? And for me, I think most people agree basically on, it feels like 8 or 9 of the starters. You know, it's like everyone's like, yeah, of course LeBron and of course Steph and all that. And of course, you know, Giannis, blah, 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 blah. But the one that's sort of, I still think undecided or I'm intrigued by is who gets the starting nod along with Steph Curry in the Western Conference backcourt. Curry's a lock, you know, had you know, tons of votes well ahead. He's going to get a good chunk of the media vote. He's going to, I think the players would as well. So he's in there, but who joins him? Because correct me if I'm wrong, Luka had Lillard in the last fan votes, right?
Yep.
Where he was still ahead, but it's only 50%. Of the ultimate, you know, decision here, 25 going to the media, 25 going to the players. I just wonder if Lillard wins both of those over Luka. And in some instances, is it even crazy with the way he's playing for Lillard to be ahead of even like Steph Curry in terms of like some of the rankings coming back? So I think it's going to be Lillard. Of course, would I be shocked if it's Luka? No, especially with the you know, pretty incredible lead that he had in terms of the actual vote. So that's something I'm watching. Lee, you know, do you have a guess on who it will be ultimately tonight as the starter there along with Steph Curry?
That is really tough because Luka is pretty popular as well amongst the players and the media. So
yeah.
It's not like Luka's had a bad season himself.
No. He's also been having... I'd like to make this very clear. I actually don't really care about starters and reserves all that much. But, yeah.
I just wonder if Dame, you know, this 6-game win streak perhaps came just a little late for the voting even, maybe. I don't know. Whoever makes it is fully deserving. It would be probably good to see Dame get in on the sort of veteran vote over Luka because Luka's going to be there for so many years. I don't know. I don't really know how they're going to go, the players. I don't know because Lillard is respected as well amongst his peers.
Yeah, see, I think the players put Lillard over Luka if they're doing
ranking. About the media then? Where do you think the
media is? The media is an interesting one. I'm not sure.
You know what? I'll say it. I'll say Lillard gets in. I'll say it.
As a starter, okay. Yeah. Trey, what Lillard do you think? Think it's Luka or Lillard? Or someone else?
I want to swerve. You know I want to swerve, but I think it's going to be Lillard too. There are four really solid starting candidates, I think, in the Western Conference for the guards. You would throw Donovan Mitchell into the mix along with Donk, Curry, and Lillard. But what Lillard has done since Nurkic and McCollum went down, I think it's going to be impossible for the coaches to look at that team and say, what is this guy doing? This guy is the only person we have to worry about really on the court out there. And when it comes down to winning time, he's the only one taking the shots or making the decisions, and we still can't stop him. It must be just infuriating to be a coach against that guy. So I'm guessing Lillard, but, you know, it definitely could be Doncic. He had a huge lead, right? He's almost 400,000 votes up. So he'll likely win the fan vote, I would imagine. But then, you know, I suppose that those next three, Doncic, Lillard, and Donovan Mitchell could maybe be in any sort of order, right? Mm-hmm. Any sort of 1-2-3, or I guess probably 2-3-4, to be honest, amongst the coaches and media. So I'm guessing Lillard, but it could very likely be Doncic.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll find out tonight. All right, my next question. Which East player do you think has had the most underappreciated sort of all-star buzz or case, Trey, Eastern Conference?
Eastern Conference, for me, the guy who doesn't have much buzz that I'm a little bit surprised about is Ben Simmons. You know, you look at the numbers, 15-8-8, not super impressive. You can roll out of bed and score 20 points per game in the NBA these days. Everybody knows he's not taking three-pointers, but he's making shots at the rim all the time. But Ben Simmons is still top 10 in steals, top 10 in assists. He's a premier defender. out there on the perimeter. He's in the top handful of guys league-wide. And the Sixers are obviously pretty good. They're still in first place in the Eastern Conference, 19-10. In a year with some less flashy cases, I think Ben Simmons would probably be making, have a little bit more all-star buzz going into the selections. But there are so many guys, right? Like, you're like, there could be two from the Charlotte Hornets that are going to be in the mix, right? Yeah. Like, LaMelo has really opened some eyes. Gordon Hayward has had a solid season. He's outscoring Ben Simmons. So it just feels like there's no Ben buzz right now, but he should be higher on people's lists, I think.
Okay. Lee, do you have an Eastern Conference player?
Well, I think if it wasn't for the team he was playing on, I think Jeremy Grant would be in the mix. He's had a very good season. I mean, he could be in line for most improved. He's up to 24 points a game, shooting 44%, 38% from downtown, 5 rebounds, a couple of assists, and he's been really good for the Pistons. But
yeah, he's their go-to guy.
Exactly. I mean, but it's the Pistons, so I just don't think people are really tuning in to watch them. But otherwise, I think certainly out of anyone on that team, he's the guy there. And, you know, he went there. He went to a team where he was in Denver that was in the conference finals last season, but he took the pay, took the money, went to Detroit, and he's certainly lived up to his end of the bargain anyway, been really, really good for them. But he won't get in.
You don't think so? Yeah, we'll see. All right, well, let's ask the same question, but for the Western Conference. Which player in the West, Lee, has the most underappreciated all-star case?
Well, I'm going off the board a little bit, I think, with this one, because the Jazz we know are getting two for sure in Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, and there was talk about Mike Conley, who's been out now for, I think, 5 games with a hamstring injury, potentially being their third. But what about their second leading scorer?
The guy yes, who's, Lee, do it.
The guy who is an absolute lock right now for Sixth Man of the Year is Jordan Clarkson. I mean, the team that has the best record, and he's going out there. Now, last night he actually shot the ball badly, had a terrible shooting night, but he hit the 8 threes against Philadelphia last week. He has been fantastic, and when you look at the Western Conference, just how good the Jazz have been, 20 out of 21 wins right now. I mean, they, if Mike Conley was playing, they could maybe have a case for 4 All-Stars, which we don't see very often, but it has happened a couple of times in the past. The Celtics have done it, the Pistons have done it. But also for Jordan Clarkson, a guy coming off the bench to be an All-Star is very rare, though not unprecedented. It has happened. Kevin McHale did it. Dan Marley did it. Kobe Bryant, when he was in his second season, he only started 1 game for the Lakers that year. But, you know, it's Kobe Bryant.
He was probably voted in, wasn't he?
I believe so. I believe he started, I think he's got a very strong case. I mean, the way that he has been playing for Utah, the effect that it's had, the team is winning games. And, you know, he's shooting the ball overall very well, other than last night where he sort of stunk it up. But I think he's got a case. I think he's definitely got a strong case. I mean, if you were to have 2 All-Stars from one team, now Rudy obviously is not a big scorer. He does other things for that team. But generally, the guy who's the second leading scorer is in that conversation, and Jordan Clarkson doesn't really seem to be in it. But I think he deserves some consideration.
Yeah, I love it. I love that take. I actually sort of had something similar down. But I didn't want to come off like an asshole because the Jazz are just winning a bunch of games and people like Mike Conley. But I'm a little dumbfounded by how much like support there is to get Mike Conley in this All-Star game. And not just because he's been injured now. I get it. The plus minus through the roof. He's a good player, but he is not like he is now outperforming all these other guards that I think deserve consideration, including, like you just said, maybe a guy even on his own team in Jordan Clarkson, though Jordan Clarkson is not making this All-Star team either. But I saw like Dan Devine with that final starting spot that we were just debating, right? He had it as a 6-way race between Lillard, Luka, Mitchell, and then Mike Conley, Chris Paul, and Devin Booker. Obviously, he had Steph Curry as his lock. It's like, okay, I love Dan Devine. He's the kindest guy I know in the world. So I know what he's doing here. He's just doing the old, well, what about this guy? But Mike Conley does not deserve really to truly be in this conversation with a lot of these guys. I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. I love Mike Conley. Everybody that knows Mike Conley loves him. But I just don't think we should make this like a a career achievement here. You know, like, here you go, we'll just throw you a bone. Like, he's not killing it. He's on a great team. He's playing his role incredibly well. But he's not an all-star this year. I mean, come on.
Have you checked his Raptor War?
Yeah, I'm sure his Raptor War is amazing, guys. I get it. I'm happy you set that up, though, Lee, because I've been thinking about that for a while, and I just didn't want to come off, even though I'm sure I just did, as the asshole saying, Mike Conley doesn't deserve to be an all-star. Get out of here. But he does it. He does it. There's too many good guards, and I'm with you even. I think Clarkson deserves just as much like credit or praise or whatever you want to call it, a case to be made to get into the game, which he won't, but still should be talked about a little bit more. Anyway, can't wait to debate our picks tomorrow, though. Always a fun show. Always a tough one to wrap your head around because we got four guys making all their all-star picks, but we'll do our best to, you know, lay it all out. And, you know, we'll probably agree on eight or nine of them. And then you get to the sort of the end of your all-star roster and that's where the fun begins. But I will say, I also heard this on, I think it was Windhorse's podcast this morning. They are going to be apparently doing the drafts for this all-star game.
Nice.
That's what I think. I don't know if it was McMahon or Bontemps. I can't remember which Tim it was that said that. But that apparently we're going to do the captains and drafting again. Like, what? I mean, what are we going to find out about what's going on in this All-Star game? If it's even happening. It's so strange. Because I sort of just assumed, I don't know about you guys, it was like, all right, that's on the back burner here for this year. And we'll just go east-west. And if we play this, you know, obviously meaningless game, we're going to just play it like we used to. Guess not. We might be drafted again.
I guess they'll have the Elam ending then as well. I mean, that worked last year. I mean, yeah. If you're going to play it, you may as well just play that as well.
Like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess we'll see. All right, so making our all-star picks on tomorrow. Do you have anyone else, Trey, in the West that's underappreciated?
DeMar DeRozan has an all-star case, I think. You mm-hmm. would maybe have him on same level as a Mike Conley and a Jordan Clarkson of guys who aren't getting talked about, really, yep. but could make the game. The numbers aren't crazy. 25-7. Those are roll-out-of-bed numbers, like we're saying. But the Spurs are pretty good. DeMar DeRozan, he's their best player. He's been their de facto point guard. I think he has a case, but, you know, we saw DeMar DeRozan score 25 a game for the Raptors, so to go back to 20 a game, it looks a little bit weird. You know, the Spurs are having a very solid season, and they are certainly outperforming expectations, I would say, but not a lot of people talking about DeMar DeRozan right now. In another year, in a year where a team could actually have four All-Stars in a game, maybe DeMar DeRozan gets in, but I don't think it's happening this year, despite a nice season.
Absolutely. All right, we will get to Tweet of the Night, but first, quick word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
What do you got, TK?
Yesterday on Tweet of the Night, we saw Life of Kate's fire turn up basketball tattoo. Skeets said, we need another No Dunks tattoo, but it cannot be Lee's face.
Yeah, right.
And let me tell you, the people stepped up.
I mean, those are good, but we got enough of these.
We need some variety here.
Yeah.
The people stepped up. We got a tweet from NJP, who said, I just listened to today's No Dunks Inc. and Trey Kirby, I'm ready to be the one to take the plunge on a Trey tat.
Oh, man.
I just need an idea.
Okay.
NJP suggested a poorly drawn picture of the time I fist bumped Guy Fieri, which would be great. Sort but it is risky to get a celebrity tattoo, even riskier to get a tattoo with two celebrities on it.
Right.
Very risky. My man, right. Big Smooth, he texted me last night. He said he might get a Big Beef tattoo. I don't know exactly what that is. Maybe it's similar to the turnip tattoo, a basketball that looks like a roast beef sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Not entirely sure, but I want to hear some ideas. What could be a tattoo that NJP could do? Because if you're hopping on Twitter to say it, that is a binding contract, as we all know. You can't just tweet something out and not get called out for it. So this person is going to soon have a Trey Kirby tattoo on their body.
Okay. Yeah.
Hebray. Gotta be.
All right. Done.
Yeah.
You want the guy to get a... I think this is a guy, right? That's saying he'll get the Trey tat. That you want Trey when his hair looked like it was a beret? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like that really like was our first season, I think, down at NBA TV. It was like, okay, I guess the beret's here for good. Now you see Trey in a beret.
It wasn't from time there for to good. Time. He got rid of it.
I know. I thought he might have. I thought maybe this would be his thing. He'll just be known as the beret guy. And you've seen Trey Nipper, right? Didn't you put up something on...
Yeah, because Shaq was wearing one the other night.
Yeah,
Trey basically has the same jacket, so yeah, I took a photo.
Yeah. I want to see it, man.
Well, what about the Groot? What about you?
The Groot is good.
Yeah. And then, like, weren't people responding to this guy on Twitter saying, whatever the tattoo is, it has to be on the back?
That's awesome.
Good. I think it has to be. Whatever
get
it is.
Get a Chicago Bulls tramp stamp. The Bulls are back. That would be awesome.
Oh, but here's something crazy. Turn it upside down. It looks like a robot reading the Bible. All right. So, yeah. Okay. So you want the hair beret Trey Kirby. I don't know about that, Lee. I want the bearded, big beard Trey Kirby. I like the Groot one, to be honest. Big Beef is good.
What about Fish? Ripping lips.
Not bad.
A bass, sure.
Fish always look great on a tattoo as well. That's never seen a fish that I didn't like on a tattoo. Wow. That's a bold statement. I don't even know if that's true.
Yeah.
But
how many people do you know with fish tattoos?
A lot, actually. I know a lot of people who are into fish. And my wife's from Nova Scotia.
Right. What about like some variation on the, what is it? Is it Kelvin and Hobbes, the Kelvin guy taking a leak and just make Trey looking like he's fishing a little bit or something like that?
Turn it over, just reel it.
I don't know. Somebody draw that.
I like it.
It's got to be one of those high concept. It incorporates everything, like a beret.
Oh, wow.
The deadhead skull or logo or whatever.
Sure.
Ripping lips, basketball, beef. Bulls, all of that shit has to be in there. And beef.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you just want a whole Trey Kirby arm sleeve.
I want a sleeve.
It's the story of Trey Kirby.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Go through Trey Kirby's Instagram account. He has the greatest Throwback Thursday photos of all time because Sally Kirby took a photo of Trey every single day, I'm convinced. More photos than Lee Ellis, I'm sure. And just have a photo like Trey as a baby, like just turning into Groot at the end.
That's right.
That'd be cool.
That'd be awesome.
Keep us posted. And yeah. Definitely if that tattoo happens or you decide on something, let us know and take a photo like Kate did with her turn up basketball there, which is fantastic. I don't have it in front of me right now. I'll have to share it at some other time. But remember how we were talking about, like, Kate is now going to have to always explain this turn up basketball to people. And she wrote back and said she's actually a teacher. So she is like, it's visible and is asked about it a lot and already, and she's only had it for a couple days, but I'll share that whole story at a later date. Pick 'em results. Last night's Jazz Clippers game. I hope I didn't upset the Jazz fans out there. I mean, look, the whole Conley thing, it was just, you know, I'm glad you brought it up, Lee.
They're your usually pretty incredible. Chill on the internet.
Well, that's what I'm worried about, man. Like, what have I done?
Should be fine.
Mike Conley shouldn't be an all-star. Mike Conley should have been an all-star. Yes, absolutely, but not now. And I heard Simmons, running with my point from the other day, the best thing for Mike Conley is to never make an all-star game at this point. He'll be the greatest player to never have played in it. That's good. That's something. That's something people will remember you by and talk about. How did Mike Conley never make an all-star game? You don't want to make one, just get thrown a bone here because you're scoring 16 points per game on the best team in the league. No, come on. The game last night. We took the Jazz, a lot of us did. Traded, Lee did, I did. They were favored by 3.5 in LA. No Paul George. It was close for a good chunk of it. They pulled away, though, in the second half. Despite Clarkson having a brutal game, like you said there, Lele. We get the victory. Tass swerved. He takes the L. Trey, you're 5-8. Tass is 6-7. Lee, you're 7-6. And I'm 8-5. Just like that. 5, 6, 7, 8 in the WID column. So tonight's game, Brooklyn. And is it the Lakers? That is correct, right? That's the second game. Now, no AD. No, we don't know about Kyrie. No KD.
Mm-hmm.
Not
Kyrie,
sure about
Kyrie, I think, is probable.
He's a probable? Tonight. Okay. Yeah. So, take that into consideration when you're making your picks. I assume LeBron is playing, right? I don't know why he wouldn't be. So, Lee, where are you going tonight? Nets. Oh, I should give you the line. The Lakers are favored by 2.5.
Yeah. Feels weird picking against LeBron James, but just sort of think the Lakers haven't been playing super great basketball lately, and I'm making this pick assuming Kyrie's playing. I like that Nets offense, so I'll take the Nets to win the game. They just have to win by, is that right, I believe?
That's right, man. They don't. Mm-hmm. No, they don't even need to win.
Well, they can lose by 2 points, yeah. So give me the Nets.
They could lose by 2 or 1. LeBron James game winner, and they would still maybe cover. Mm. Trey, where are you going?
I don't know. I'm not sure about this one because it feels like the kind of game where LeBron could say, oh, people are thinking I'm going to lose this one. No AD around here. They got two of their three ready to go. So I don't know. I got a feeling we're getting a classic LeBron tonight. Give me the Lakers.
I love your thinking on this one, Trey. We got a lot of MVP talk over the last couple days. Lillard, obviously, you know, Embiid being in and out. Oh, they stink when he's not playing. That helps his case. Blah, blah, blah. Jokic doing his thing. LeBron, season here's all. And this is a nationally televised game versus a good Nets team. No AD. The Nets don't play defense. Why couldn't LeBron put on a crazy performance tonight? I will take the Lakers to win by 3 or more as well. So I'm with Trey. Let's find out who Tess has.
Give me the Nets. Kyrie Irving will not miss this game for anything, and he's going to show his old teammate LeBron James what he can still do. Give me Brooklyn.
Okay, interesting. He's going with the Kyrie angle. Tess is locking it in that Kyrie's going to play on this one. He wouldn't miss it for the world. To what? I guess because he just wants to show LeBron what he's missing, I guess. So here we go. We're split on this one. Great. Lee and Tess taking the Nets to you know, obviously get the victory or keep it close enough. Trey and I need the Lakers to win by 3 or more. Good luck to all. Tonight, back with the NBA Happy Hour. Today, we got NBA Bloopers. We got Pop and Packs. So, you know, join us for any of those shows or check those out on YouTube. Happy Hour tonight, firing up the stream at halftime of the Raptors-Bucks games. We'll probably be talking about those all-star starter selections. We'll have some laughs, have some drinks. Lee's going to drink a bottle of wine. It'll be great. See, I keep adding a little bit to your assumption.
Big bottle.
Yeah, that's right. So join us tonight for that. That'll be fun. Email us your NBA questions for our next Beach Steppin' podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com. Grab your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com. And if you don't subscribe to The Athletic already, please do so. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks to sign up for just $3.99 a month. Awesome offer. I got so much, like, my tabs. Lee, I know you're a big tab guy. You got always a million tabs open. I mean, if you could see mine right now, I have so many, like, all-star picks columns I want to read. Yeah, like, the Athletic guys. You know, I got a couple of people at The Ringer. Shout out again to Dan Devine and all those guys. Like, oh, my God. So, Ben Golliver's, Stein, I think I have. So, I'm going to consume all this at some point today and then ultimately make my decision. So,
shout out to Ben Golliver. He's got his bubble book out, too.
Well, it's not out yet, but it's got released the cover, I think, is what they've done. And you could pre-order that book.
Yeah.
Yeah, inside the... What's it called? Is it called Inside the Bubble?
I think so.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Bubble? Ben,
yeah. Maybe, yeah. So anyway, check Ben Golliver. Type Bubble NBA and Ben Golliver and wherever you
get see what happens.
I'm sure you'll find it. If the first thing that pops up is Shaq giving me a wedgie, we know something wrong. All right, thanks for joining us today. We'll see you later tonight or later today, whenever. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Lee's drinking wine tonight, but Skeets is having lager, 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 lager.
I gotta go buy some, actually. Embrace the day, people.